I'm Dana Lloyd. Welcome to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast, where you will be inspired and empowered to connect more deeply with your authentic self as we explore topics of personal development, leadership, and spirituality. Your journey to your most authentic self starts right now. Marilyn Chapman has a passion for helping people begin and move through all phases of their healing journey. She is a Reiki master teacher, and Marilyn has a deep love and compassion for animals. And today she chats with me about her role as an animal communicator. Yes, Marilyn can communicate with your animals, living or dead. It is such an interesting conversation as she shares how she communicates with them, the role pets play in our lives, messages, and how they pick up our energy. And she shares some really interesting stories too. Marilyn Chapman, welcome to Soul Sister Conversations.
Hi, Dana. Nice to be here.
Well, it's lovely to connect with you. I met you, I want to say 12 years ago, could have been 15. And we have a unique conversation today around animal communication and what you do. And I told you that my dog had recently died in the past few weeks. And for some reason, you popped into my head before he passed away, but maybe there was a reason that I was supposed to have a conversation with you. And so I'm excited to do that today. But first off, you are a Reiki master and teacher, Mother Earth medicine healer, and an animal communicator, as I said. And for the past quite a while now, you've been working with clients and their pets from different countries around the world through animal communication. And I am curious about that. Like, what is animal communication?
That's a difficult question sometimes to answer, because I think people do it differently. I would say animal communication for me is I connect telepathically with the animals on a heart-to-heart connection, and I receive messages, I guess would be the best way to describe it, from the animals in different ways. I see things, I hear things, I feel things. They'll show me different things, and sometimes I hear words, and like a human language, I guess we could call it. And then I'm able to put all that together so that I can explain and give the messages to the owners so that they can understand. It's kind of like a movie reel in my head that I have to splice together and come up with proper wording so that people can understand what I'm hearing and seeing and feeling.
Are these pets who are alive and passed away, or either or both?
Both.
Both. Okay. So if someone had an issue with their pet, I don't know, maybe the pet's not feeling well. Do you do that kind of stuff? Like, people want to know, what are they thinking? Or are people just coming for general readings? Like, what is my cat thinking?
All of that.
Oh, really? Now, is this like people who are mediums because I'm thinking that people who are mediums talk to the dead, talk to your loved ones. They don't talk telepathically to, you know, current people. They can't read minds per se. How is this different from that kind of work?
Well, I'm not a medium, so I wouldn't call myself a medium. The messages just come through. Like I sit quietly with myself. I put myself into a state of calm and relaxation, try to clear my mind and create a heart connection with any of the animals that I'm working with, whether it's horses, cats, dogs. I haven't gone really anything beyond that. And I just open up and begin questioning, asking the animal first if I have permission to connect with them. And we connect on that level first. They give me the okay in various different ways. And then the communication just starts. I start asking questions or let them know that their owner is concerned about a health issue, their behavior issue.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, many different.
Absolutely things. Fascinating. Now, this is interesting because I was telling my son this yesterday, who's, you know, very science minded.
Yes.
And so you can help me bust these myths. and I was saying, I'm going to be talking to this woman who communicates to animals. And I'm like, maybe, you know, we can have her talk to Ozzy, who was our dog who passed away. And my son looked at me. He's like, our dog speaks English now. And So for him, this is a big leap. So can you explain that? Is it like blocks of thought? What's happening?
Well, it is, like I said, it just comes into me in different ways. I'll ask if there's an issue, and sometimes the animals will just give me a visual of someplace on their body that's troubling them or giving them an issue. When I know that there is an animal, the animal is having some issues according to the owners, I will do what I call as a body scan, and I just kind of go over and through their whole body. Not that I know what the insides of a cat or a dog or a horse look like, but I can go to different areas that will show pain or discomfort or inflammation, and or maybe just a shadow effect. And right off the bat, I want to say that that doesn't mean that there's cancer there. It's just a way of them showing me that this is the area of the body that's causing some discomfort.
Okay. It's so interesting to me. And I'm curious how you got on this path. How did you know you could communicate with animals? And is this obviously you're a Reiki master, you have this ability to, I guess, read energy.
Well, I've loved animals all my life and always thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could be an animal communicator to actually talk to my pets? And 2005, 2006, I heard about a woman from PEI. Her name was Calloway McLeod, and she was doing animal communication readings at a Moncton health fair. So as soon as I, and that she trained people in that, and I thought, oh, wow, I want to get on board with this. So I got in touch with her via email and phone messages until she finally got back to me. And we connect
Persistence.
persistence, yes. And so she was doing a teleclass. So there was myself and three others, a lady in Toronto, a woman from Alberta, and another woman in BC. And we did a teleclass with her over a period of months that we would just meet through phone because we weren't working with computers then so much. And we just had classes with her and worked with each other's animals. And that's how it all started.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So, did she learn you then the technique of how to do this? I guess. And is it the same as all the other stuff we've heard, like meditation? Like you say, you sit and you get calm and you're listening for messages. Because you were interested in animals. You said, wouldn't it be great that I could connect with them? So, you didn't have the ability, per se, to connect until you learned how to do it?
Until I learned, yes, and there's different techniques. I've also had a live course with Amelia Kincaid, who's a world-renowned animal communicator. I did that in the States, I think in 2010 or 11, somewhere around there. And Lynn McKenzie is another person I took an internet course through. And each one has their own unique ways of teaching how to communicate with animals. But basically, it comes down to the same thing. Learning how to clear your mind is the best way to start, because we all have an active mind and it has to be clear, and trusting in yourself that it can happen. I don't think anybody has to be special. I have taught a number of classes myself, and everybody does it in their own unique way, with the basic understanding that just calm yourself, clear your mind, really believe in yourself that this can happen, and enter into it.
That's so anybody could really learn to do this if you're willing to do exactly those things you just said,
Absolutely.
which is the problem that most of us have, is
Right.
is getting calm, being very present. I mean, this is the same stuff that I hear from people like it mediums that I've connected with. They have to kind of go into a space. And I always think about, wow, if we can stay there long enough, imagine the kind of magic that can happen. And for you, it's your desire to speak with animals.
Yes, and having taken Reiki, it was during my Reiki master, no, sorry, my third level Reiki, that I learned about Calloway McLeod. And over that period of time of taking Reiki courses, you do learn how to quiet and settle your mind while you're doing Reiki with people, so that the energy can flow through properly and not be blocked, let's say.
So when someone comes to you and they want you to connect with their animal, whether live or passed away, and you ask them permission to enter, I guess, their consciousness or to be in connection with their energy, and then what sort of things come up from animals? Like, can you tell us about maybe some impactful situations that you've had, or what could people expect?
Well, it is different with everyone. What I'm finding lately is that animals are having behaviors that are concerning to their owners and hear about me or learn about me and contact me. And I'm finding probably about 70, 75% of the time, there's really nothing wrong with the animals, but the owners are going through some type of an emotional crisis or situation, and the animals want to talk to their owners to help them process through that.
Wow. And so it's interesting because I have had that sort of thought before about that connection between animals and humans, that can they pick it up, or are they're distressed because we're distressed? Is that what happens?
Yes, I've seen some situations where animals are. I feel their illness is contributing to the fact that they're trying to help their owners heal. It's almost like they're taking on a sickness so
Yes.
that their owners don't have to go through it.
When people want to communicate to their message or to their pets, and it isn't something distressing, do we have some positive ones where the dog or cat just wants you to let them know, their owner know that they're like having a good time in life? Those kinds of positive messages. Thanks for the walk and the treats. I want more treats, these kinds of things.
Well, usually that's when I first started, that was probably more the way it was. But I've had much more, and it seems to be much more intense communications with animals over the last few years.
Is that distressing to you?
No, because in the end, I've been able to give the message, and that's what lifts my heart is that I'm able to pass on the message. And I always honor and I let the owners know that no matter what comes through, I will express it. Whatever the animal is willing to tell me, that I will let them know because I want to honor the animal's communication with me.
How does that impact you? I mean, I'm thinking your own journey in being able to connect with animals in this way.
Well, it's just become a way of life now. And it's not like a lot of people say, oh, you're an animal communicator. What's my dog saying? And most times, I can't just connect in that way. I like to be able to calm myself down and get into the headspace that I like to be in. Although, on occasion, I have had horses, and animals, I should say, talk to me out of the blue. I know my daughter has had a horse. He's no longer with us. That had cancer and also had been very badly abused when he was young. And I was at the barn with her one day, and we worked with him with people in healing sessions and things. And she was always concerned and always was very sorry about the trauma that he'd went through as a young horse. And I was just leaning against the barn wall, and she was currying him, getting him all cleaned up to go for a ride. And he just said, would you please tell her not to talk about my abuse? I can't leave it behind if she's going to continue to talk about it.
Oh, wow.
And she wasn't doing it. She was just explaining to people. People say, well, why is he so skittish, or why is this, or why is that? So she would explain that to them. But he didn't want to talk about it anymore. He didn't want it brought up anymore. So he just asked me to let her know to stop.
I was curious about that. I was going to ask you, do you ever have messages from pets out of the blue, like you're walking by somebody in a park and that you have messages come, or do you have to get in the calm space in order to receive them?
I would say mostly in the calm space, but with people that I know and pets that I've been around. I have a friend now who is in British Columbia visiting her children, and I was around her. Another woman is looking after her two dogs for her, and one of them has communicated with me that he's missing her and wants to know what she's doing, how she's doing.
Yeah, I was curious about that because I thought, I wonder if it's busy for you when you go for a walk and you see all these pets coming and that they may might have messages, or you have the ability to shut it down. Because I know mediums will often seem like they have to be in that calm space, that they can shut it down so that they're not constantly bombarded by messages or energies, I guess.
Yes.
I'm curious about what you have learned about the role of pets in our lives. I mean, obviously you've loved pets your entire life. But what have you come to learn about them and their journey with us?
Unconditional love. That's to me the best message I can say, I guess, about animals. I've been with them all my life. I've had numerous pets and cats, dogs. My daughter's had a couple of horses. It's just, I think people that don't have animals in their lives are really missing out because there is that deep heart connection. There's no expectations from animals. There's just that you sit with them quietly and they're there with you, whether they're on your lap or on the floor in front of you. There is just that heart connection that happens. There's a calming, there's a relaxation that can come into yourself. If you're in a stressful situation, they bring calm. You know, they get you out to go for a walk and enjoy nature. I just can't imagine my life without them. I just can't.
They bring so much joy. Yeah, and I think because often I spend a lot of time like working from home, and when my dog was alive, he was always just sitting in the window, so he was always somebody you can go over and pet, and they just have this warmth that allows you to connect to the present moment or just leave all your weariness behind. They're just so magical, the role that they play in our lives. And if you're a pet lover, you're a pet lover. Like, people can't imagine their lives without pets. Yeah,
Exactly.
it's so
I had
true.
one little funny story I had with my dog Buddy. We used to go for a walk every morning before they put the new intersection in here. I would cross the road and down through the woods, go for a walk. And it was in the fall. And I'd go out in the morning early before I left for work. And I kept running into spider webs. And I'm thinking, why? Why are these spider webs up here? I actually said it out loud. Oh, I said, oh my goodness, why am I constantly running into spider webs going down this path? And I heard what I thought was from behind me. Well, we have to prepare for winter too. And I literally just stood up straight thinking, who's around here and who's speaking to me? And I saw this big spider in one of the webs, and I thought, really? Spiders prepare for winter? Like, you know, they stash things like squirrels. And I came back and I read up on spiders, and some of them actually do. They prepare for winter just like other animals do, and it really surprised me.
So a spider, I feel like Charlotte's Web, like someone's
Yeah.
talking to you, like, hey, we've got to do our thing.
And it was quite indignant that I, needless to say, I didn't walk the dog that way for a long time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, does it freak you out sometimes when things like that happen?
Sometimes I literally
Yeah.
turned around to see who was behind me, and then I kind of chuckled to myself and said, okay, you've got to go and read up on this because understand it a little bit better.
Oh my gosh. That's so interesting. I think you live a very fascinating life.
Can be. There's just different things that happen. I'm just trying to think of some things that are not are kind of off the cuff. I know there was a woman in Australia that got in touch with me. She wanted me to connect with her dog again because of behavior issues. And so I said I would definitely try to do that for her. And when the little dog appeared, it was a little Yorkie. It presented with this beautiful plaid blanket in its mouth. That's what I saw. And I thought, oh, okay, well, that's a cute blanket. And then I started to talk to it, and it just kept shaking the blanket at me. And I said, okay, I will acknowledge the blanket. I will let the owner know that I've seen the blanket because it's very important to you. And then I went on with the communication. And in essence, what the issue was, not with the dog again, it was family issues within their house with husband and wife conflict and financial conflict. And when I sent her the information, because I record some of it, and then sometimes I record it for myself and type it out, but she was shocked that I would understand through her dog the situation that was happening in the family home. And the reason the dog had the blanket with it was because that's where it slept every night, and wherever it went, it dragged the blanket with him. So that's where he wanted to sleep. So it was really important for the dog have me comment on the blanket so she knew that I had made an absolute connection with the dog.
Oh, I get that. I'm curious then when people they think they're bringing their dog because their dog has an issue, and then you tell them actually it's you who has the issue. What's their reaction to that? Do they get that connection between the two?
I think they get that connection even more than if they were going to someone for help, because for someone that doesn't know them, has never met them, is working, you know, through picture, basically, is how I work. For me to give them that information, the impact is much stronger than I think even going for therapy. It's like, wow, okay, there really is an issue here. We love our animal. It's causing havoc and creating stress within the animal itself. So maybe we should go ahead and do some work on this.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty powerful. And I would think if people were not aware of that connection between pet and person, they might be a little bit taken aback that you would know something so personal about their lives without having knowing that knowledge. Yeah,
exactly. And that's why I let everybody know before I start that whatever comes through, you're going to get.
The family dirt's coming up. Yeah. The dog knows all. Yeah. So in a way, I guess, is the dog like a medium or like a, it's stuff is moving through them, you know, in reaction to us, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, they take a lot on. They really do feel their energetic level, I think, is much higher than ours. So they're much more tuned into, and we don't really understand, I don't think, how compassionate they are for their owners and how much they want to help.
I get that. I mean, I could see those changes in my own dog. You know, the reactions, and I would ask myself, like, what's going on? What's he kind of reflecting back? They're almost like little mirrors for us, I guess, just like everything in life is.
Right. And once you understand that, it's much easier to connect with them and not even do this communication that I do. But you're seeing a shift in the dog and you go, okay, is there something going on with him? Is there something going on in the family?
Yeah.
What do I need to? I know I went to New Zealand a few years ago and my little dog was taken care of by someone else. And then a following year, I was packing up a suitcase to come and spend Christmas with my parents because they were older and I wanted to spend time with them. And unfortunately, my dad wasn't interested in having a dog in the house. But I pulled out my overnight case and my dog Buddy got very, very agitated and upset and whimpering and just totally out of character. And I thought, okay, what's going on? And so I just sat with him and did some Reiki on him, actually, just to try and figure out what was going on. And all I kept hearing is, don't go on the airplane. Don't go on the airplane. And I thought, on the airplane? What do you mean, don't go on the airplane? And then it hit me the following year. I was in New Zealand and I was gone for an extended time. My mother actually got sick while we were down there. So I was gone for 5 weeks. But it fascinated me that he could communicate the fact of don't leave me and go on an airplane. I'm thinking, what does a dog even know about an airplane? But he certainly got the message across. So I was able to let him know that I was only going to be away for one sleep. And that's how I let my animals know if I'm going to be away. I give them a time frame and I communicate with them while I'm away. But then he just calmed right down and he was fine.
So you have the ability to connect to your dog to say, I'm going away for a couple of days. How can we do that, have that relationship with our dogs? Because I would see that impact. Like, I never really, maybe only a couple times in his 13 and a half year life that I left him in a kennel. And I hated leaving him there because he always looked stressed. I mean, he didn't like leaving him anywhere, but he'd be fine. But I used to feel guilty about leaving him. And I think, well, how do we have a pet and not feel guilty or not cause them distress because of our own lives, you know?
Well, what I have done, and this was on my own accord, not just through the years of having the different animals and communication, I communicate with my pet through visuals. So I have a little cat now, and if I want her to do something or let her know that I'm doing something, I show her through mind pictures.
Oh, in your head, you mean?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
And then when I'm away, if I'm going to be away for a period of time, I let them know what I'm doing. So I'm actually showing them pictures in my mind of what I'm doing and that I'm having a good time. Because especially with dogs, I feel their commitment to their owners is to take care of them and to be their guardian. And when you're out of sight and they have no idea where you are and you put them in a different situation, it's very stressful for them because they don't know what's happening with you and they can't be there to protect you. So I would, if I was going away and I had the dog with me, or left home, I would just let them know that, you know, I'm on the plane, I'm going, I'm here, I've met my friends, I'm out at the beach, I'm having a swim, I'm having a great time, just to de-stress them and let them know that I'm okay. So I'm showing them pictures of everything that I'm doing, not 24/7, but off and on through that time frame that I'm away.
So could we do that too, if we were Absolutely. Away or even before we leave when we're looking at our pet? I mean, we may talk to them and say, hey, we're going on a little trip. You know, lots of people talk to the dogs all day long. But would it be more effective then to bring an image in your mind of where you're going? Is that a better way to communicate them? Will we have that same effect on our pets as you do?
I believe so. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, sometimes you're sitting around at home and all of a sudden you think, oh, maybe I should get not it wasn't in your mind, but maybe I should take Buddy for a walk, or maybe like my cat will let me know when she wants treats. It's treat time. All of a sudden I'm up and I'm walking out to the kitchen going, what am I coming out here for? Oh yeah, I was going to get her a treat. Wait a minute. Wait, that wasn't my thought. That was a thought that she put in my head. And I think animals do that with all people. Like oh, we're doing things that we're not even aware that we're why we're doing it.
Yeah. Animals are fascinating, aren't they? I mean, you can tell when they're, I would think about, there's a certain stance my dog would have and he would like stare at me, you know, when I'm sitting on the couch and it's like, what do you want? Like he's trying to communicate something. He's not barking, but he's like staring intensely and you have to go out and do this little guessing game. Like is it right. treats? Is it going outside? But it's the way in which he was looking that I knew he wanted something. It's like this royal stare down. So I know they can't say the language, but they're trying to tell us something. I suppose like babies, you know?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's absolutely fascinating. You know, this connection between pets and ourselves and I think about just, you know, what have you learned doing this, the kind of messages that you receive? What have you learned about the connection in life? You know, that we're all connected. What, how has that impacted you? What do you think about that?
Well, just the different communications that I've had with different animals, the importance that they play in our lives. Just another story I can tell you is a woman that had worked with horses all her life and had a very special horse. And one day the horse, for no reason, bumped into her in such a way that she knocked her off her feet and broke her hip. Mm-hmm. And they were just devastated that the horse could be that aggressive. And that's the term they used. But when she went in the hospital and they realized that they were going to have to operate, they found that she had cancer in her hip. Oh. And she had to be airlifted to Halifax. And if they hadn't found it when they did, consequences would have been tenfold. So to me, the message through that was the horse knew this, and this is, you know, that she had no idea. She had no problems with her hips, no pain in her hips. It's just, you know, completely out of the blue. So to me, that message from the horse is, I'm taking care of you. You're not aware of this. I'm aware of this. So I'm going to make everybody else aware of this so you can be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Those so different things like that, you know,
yeah.
There's just so many, you know, I wish I had written them all down. I really do, because
you could write a book.
Some of them, I've been told that you should write a book about your stories.
I think it would be fascinating.
Yeah. When I go back and look at some of them and people remind me, remember when, and I'll go, oh yes, now that you've brought it up, I do remember. But there is one profound that has really changed my life. And it was with a woman in Ontario and her cat had cancer. And she had done everything she possibly could to extend the life of this cat, but it got to the point where it was time to let her go. And she contacted me and asked me if I would connect with the cat while she was being euthanized. And I knew this woman, and I actually knew the cat. So we set it up. I was home here in New Brunswick. She was in Ontario. I knew exactly when this was going to happen. And it's not something I'd ever done before, but I got the image of the cat leaving its body and left from this emaciated senior cat into this beautiful, young, vibrant cat. And literally, like they say in the movies, it like the spirit went upwards. That's all I can say. And then all of a sudden, there was a brown Siamese cat that met this woman's cat. And I remember thinking at the time, didn't realize that there were brown Siamese cats. I thought they were all black gray, but I just let that go. And the cat turned and looked at me and said, "Tell Sue, Mama has her and everything's going to be okay." And then they just turned around and walked away. And I was left in this space. I can't describe the space. I've never seen it. I've never felt it before. And I just thought, oh, I don't want to leave here. This is the most beautiful place to be. And I felt this little tap on my forehead, and I heard the message, "You can't stay here. It's not your time."
Wow.
And I was very disappointed to leave. And when I talked to the mom of this cat and let her know what was going on and what had happened through that transition, she said, "Oh my gosh, Marilyn, that was my cat when I was a teenager. Her name was Mama, and she was a brown seal point."
Wow.
So I know now where my animals go. I only hope and pray that that's where I get to go too. And I have said many times, and I know this sounds really out there, but I'm a grandmother. I have a number of grandchildren. But I can tell you right now, if someone came to me and said, "If you want to go there now, if you want to leave this place and go there now," I would go.
It was that magical.
It was that beautiful. And I've lost a number of pets since then, four pets actually, since that time. And it is difficult to lose them, but now I have this peace in my heart to know where they're going and how beautiful it will be for them there. And they will
Wow.
be leaving all their pain and any bodily issues here.
That's a comforting message for many.
And I do send that. I hear about people on Facebook, they'll say that they've lost their pets. And I tell them that story. I send it by messenger, just to let them know. I mean, I don't know these people, but I just want to give somebody that peace that I now have when I lose, when I know one of my pets has to pass.
Knowing that they're going someplace good. And I have that belief too. When my dog passed, and I knew it was the end, but I thought, nah, I think I'm going to see him someday. I think there's going to be some sort of reunion, or he's going to be okay. And that's just my own deep belief.
I think we all do. I think we all have that inner knowing that that's they're beautiful creatures, you know? They've done no harm. So they do have a beautiful place to go. And like I said, I just hope that that's where we get to go.
Yeah, me too. It's like fingers crossed.
That's right. That's right.
It's true. And I think how could it not be the same place? You know, wherever that is.
That's right. That's right.
I think it was might have been you when I met you, like when I said it's been over a decade. And I was probably talking to you about my dog, and I think one of the things he used to do was he would sit on people, and he had quite a personality, and anybody who came to visit, he would sit on them. And even people when the first year we were podcasting in my house, you know, podcast guests would come in and the dog would be like trying to get on their lap while we're podcasting. But he would sit on people and he'd put their paws up on their chest. And I think it was you who said he's making a heart-to-heart connection. Would that be true? Because I'm trying to think. I think it was you who told me that.
I believe that. I think they want it's they bring a calm and with most people, if they're animal lovers, they bring a sense of calm and relaxation too, and just let them know that they're safe. You know, I'm here, you're safe. And it is a heart connection. I mean, that's how they work to me in my mind. They work through a heart connection. That's how I connect with them. I visualize light going from my heart to their heart and opening up the communication that way.
It's always stayed with me, and anytime people would come to visit, and Ozzy would get on their lap, and he would do that, and I would tell them that they're making heart-to-heart connection, and people were sort of melted by that, you know, that like how sweet, you know, especially people who are dog lovers, right? They get that, and I've always carried that with me, knowing that that's really what he was doing, and it feels like they play this role in our lives to do exactly that, to calm us, to bring us to the present moment, because I would say that they're probably always there.
Well, they live in the moment. They don't look to the future. They don't look to the past. I mean, there are animals that have been abused, so that does pass can come up and be triggered, but they live in the moment, and it is, you know, 100% unconditional. no expectations. You know, I'm giving myself to you. I'm hoping that you'll give yourself back to me. And I think once we make that connection and feel that heart connection with them, it's the best unconditional love anybody could have. Mm. I equate that with babies. Babies give unconditional love because they've not been altered by the
conditioned
world around, or you're conditioned around
triggered.
That's right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that is the power of a dog. And what does it mean really when they're barking at people? For the most part, the dog would be fine, but there's some people that they just don't settle with. And I always felt like they're picking up, doesn't mean they're necessarily a bad person, but maybe their energy is off. Or
that's exactly what I would say. Their energy is off. There's a maybe not their energy, but the energy of the person is different than their energy of their owner. And the collision of that energy would not be good. So they're protecting. They just say, you stay away. I don't want your energy around my person.
I get that. And I'm thinking for all the cat lovers, what are the messages out there for the cat lovers? Because I've never had a cat. Maybe when I was a kid, I think I had one cat for a little bit of time. But, you know, so many people, you'll see the jokes around dogs, you know, how they're unconditional and they want to be with you. And cats seem to be the opposite. You know, do cats have a different purpose than dogs?
I think a different purpose in I would say their healing abilities. I've had a few cats in my lifetime since I've gotten into energy work. I've had two specific cats, one that I have right now. When I'm doing energy work with a person, if she will sit out the door, outside the door and meow politely and ask if she can come in. And if the person on the table says yes, then she will come in and she'll get up and she'll walk right up their chest and do an eye-to-eye contact with them. And just stare at them for a few minutes. And then she seems to go on the body where the person is having difficulties or needs work. Hmm. And I had another cat that did the same thing, although he was much bigger than this little one. So it was a little easier for her. But yeah, so they do amazing healing work, and they can heal from a distance, I find. And I was doing a course on integrated energy therapy for animals. And the gentleman that taught this course explained that cats sleep a lot, and the reason they sleep a lot is they expend a lot of energy keeping the house calm and people calm and doing healing. So the more they sleep, the more work they're doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would that be true of dogs too, do you think? Because they often sleep a lot.
And maybe in a different way. I think cats just seem to heal. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Cats just seem to heal on a different level, not a deeper level per se, but on a different level where it's just a very unintrusive, I don't know, almost like a spiritual connection with a cat as opposed with a dog is more mental and physical connection. I'm not sure.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of long-term care homes or some senior homes will have cats in there. Mm-hmm. And I've heard stories of when someone is dying, the cat will go in and spend time with that person or crawl into bed with them. And then the cat will kind of disappear for a couple of days because it's literally grieving. And, you know, if you see the cat coming when you're in a senior care home, like, I mean, my grandmother's in a long-term care home and there's a black cat. And I always think, not today. Don't be near me, cat. You know, and I kind of eyeball it as I'm walking by. But, you know, I've heard that. Have you heard of those kinds of stories?
Yes, I have heard some of those stories.
And that they seem to serve that role that you're talking about.
And, you know, the cat may sense your, not nervousness, but your anxiety coming in to see your mom, right? Did you say your mother or your grandmother?
My grandmother, yeah.
Your grandmother. So it may just pick up on your nervous energy or your anxiety of coming in and thinking, oh, I hope she's going to be okay today. They can pick that up and just want to, you know, send some of their healing energy to you.
Yeah. It's so funny because, you watch them and they're just, he's an older cat and it's interesting that they have him in the home and he just kind of wanders around. And I think he serves his purpose. And for the longest time, he held out, he would hang out at my grandmother's wing. And then for a while, he would hang out someplace else. And it makes me think that he was going where he was needed.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So fascinating. This whole conversation has been fascinating. And this is a conversation I haven't had before. And I thought, oh, this is absolutely so interesting. And I'm curious if someone wants to connect with you, how do they do that? How do they get in touch if they would like to have a session?
I have an email address, ME Medicine, all small letters, 54 at yahoo.com.
And you had mentioned before you do this from a distance too, because energy is energy, right?
90% of the time it's done by distance because I have a small cat here who's deaf, so I can't have animals come to my house, and that usually agitates them and causes them some undue stress because everything's new and different. And I do go to people's homes. I have done that in close proximity. But like I said, probably 90% of my work is done through a photograph.
Okay.
So as long as I can see the animal's eyes, then I just download the picture and I can sit with the picture. And I usually audio my conversation, depending on what the length of it is. I can send that, or I will type it out and send it, or call and talk to the client about it.
So the person doesn't have to be present. You just need to see the picture. Then you record yourself having the conversation or getting the messages.
Yes.
Oh, so someone has given you the questions they want to know,
They're just, or the
or general.
most recent one is, I'm just concerned that my dog has not been acting normal, slow, sluggish. I'm just concerned. Is there anything that you can pick up? Are they upset about something? And I went in and connected with the dog, and they are getting older, so their body is slowing down, and there's a few aches and pains that I was able to let them know about. But again, it went back to their concern about their owner.
That's so fascinating. And how long are the sessions generally?
It depends on the animal. My conversation with them can run anywhere from 15 to minutes to half an hour
Okay.
or longer. And then the time it takes me to, type it up or send the recording off. I'm not real techie. This has all been part-time work for me over the years. I do appreciate people getting in touch. It is a very heartwarming experience for me to
Yes.
be able to connect with people's pets and be able to share their messages. Yeah, and
Yeah.
have some healing take place for sure.
Yeah. Are there any last messages or ideas that you want us to know about our pets, the role they play?
I just feel that if you've got a pet in your life, there's a reason for that. Just honor their ability to connect and be a healing source, even though you're not aware of it, that their energy that they have and leave and contribute to your home makes it a much better place to be, and to actually go and allow the animal to be the healer that they want to be, not just the friend and the companion and the buddy that you do things with, but take the time to sit quietly with them, connect with them on a heart level, and just let that energy flow back and forth between the two of you so that you can honor what they're able to do and honor their presence in your life and allow them to honor you and helping you have a better life with having them in it.
A great message to end on. Thank you, Marilyn, for your time. I really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, thank you, Dana. I know it's been a long time coming because I've been here, there, and everywhere, but I do appreciate you asking me and allowing me to talk about it.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was such a great conversation. If you loved it too, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Please go to iTunes to rate and review this podcast. And if you want to continue the conversation, connect with Soul Sister Conversations on the Facebook and Instagram pages. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Dana Lloyd Leadership, on Twitter at Coach Dana underscore Lloyd, and of course on LinkedIn. See you next week.